Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dorimple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, pizzas, the grandstand, and Postman Pat. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Good week, guys. Katie?
Yeah. Did you see the maritime supplement?
Did I see it?
Yes.
Yes. And I read it. It was lovely.
It was lovely. Very blue.
Very blue.
As promised.
You said it was going to be blue. I thought it can't be that blue, and it was very blue.
It was very blue. It looked lovely.
We should point out Jess is still interrailing.
Yep, she's off. She's in, she was in Venice yesterday.
Right.
Because I saw from her Instagram stories.
You're not tracking her using some sort of GPS.
We've tagged her to make sure we can definitely get home.
Like, we spoke to the ones who do the, you know, the sharks. She hasn't noticed.
She thinks she's wearing a friendship bracelet.
So where is she going tomorrow?
I don't know. She might be in Barcelona.
No, I think she's
today.
Not... Oh, Barcelona. Okay, she's gone from Venice, but she was in Madrid last week.
She's zigzagging.
Is that how you get it cheaper? Because you can constantly...
She's zigzagging everywhere. I'm sure she might be in Barcelona.
Right.
Because she uploaded a picture as well of her in a bucket hat.
Bet they're very in at the moment.
I believe so.
Yeah, not just as an ironic fashion. They're actually actual fashion again.
Very functional.
Do you think?
For protecting their hairline from the sun, yes.
They're not waterproof.
Well, you wear them for the sun, not the rain, surely.
Are you sure? You want a hat that does both.
Well, you do, because you don't know how to use an umbrella.
Exactly. A bifocal hat. That's what you want. So apart from the maritime special, anything else interesting happening in Distribution this week?
No.
Short and sweet, from Katie. Sam, good week?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, plodded along, you know, as we do.
Not too bad.
Yeah. Been out of Vox Poppin' today. Actually went quite well.
Okay, what was the subject that you put to the populace?
That is on wind farms.
Oh!
And whether they favour them or not.
Okay. So we'll find out what people's thoughts were in the examiner next week, I take it?
Yeah, and then with Jess off, it's been a busy week. And
you look a bit broken, Sam.
You really do.
I am a little bit this week.
Are you missing Jess?
I'm, it's weird without Jess.
Just because of the workload, or...
Yeah. But I've got to go do property lists and all that, and I don't enjoy it. I don't understand it, to be honest. She knows what she's doing. So.
Okay, right. So Jess, we think, is back on Monday, and of course we'll be in the podcast next week.
Yes.
And we'll hear all about her interrailing event. She should send the Manx 40 podcast Instagram message this week, because we had a new biscuit tried today. Did you see this? I don't know if you follow us on Instagram. And it was digestives with caramel bits in. And it's a new, like a cookie almost, but it isn't a cookie, and it's not a digestive. It's like the hybrid of the two. And they're on sale in various locations around the island at the moment.
Including
across the road, yes, but you bang on the money there. So Jess was very jealous that she'd missed out on them today. But they are very nice. I've had about 18 already.
I got one of them, though. It's like a new level of biscuit.
If you want to hear the full biscuit review, please do tune in to this week's Manx Football Podcast.
You didn't share them with me and producer Emma.
No, because I'd eaten them all. Usually, I'm like, I can give or take with the biscuits, but I'd had about 16. And then I had a McFlurry, and I put some of them in the McFlurry, which was a bit over the top.
That is excessive.
Yeah. And I wonder why I'm getting fat. It's a strange world we live in. Anything else, Sam, to add, or should we move on to the first news story of the week?
No, go on, let's move on.
Okay, before we go on, as you point at them...
Literally pointing at them.
It's been a very exciting week, hasn't it?
Was it Tuesday when they arrived? It was like maximum excitement.
I think it might have been Tuesday, because there was great excitement, wasn't it?
It was.
People are probably wondering what the chuff we're talking about. It's because we've had some post.
We've had post.
So, Katie, do you want to talk us through? We had two postcards, haven't we?
Yeah, so the first one arrived, and Sam immediately took it and put it in his desk drawer. It is from Dublin, and it is actually from my mum.
Aww.
And it just says, "Hello, podcast team. Having lots of fun in Dublin. Best wishes, Mrs. Kitchener.
Aww.
P.S. Hello, Sam."
He's beaming again now, isn't he? Is that why you put it in your drawer? When you're a little bit sad, you can take it out and read it.
Yeah.
Aww.
It's just nice to know that I'm appreciated by Mrs. Kitchener. Hello, Mrs. Kitchener.
What's on the front? Let's paint the picture.
So,
with our words.
There's a van that says Derby Sons Limited, a few pubs, Yeah, a few things. I think it's Grafton Street.
It was, because we were walking back to our hotel along Grafton Street after many drinks, and there was a 24-hour shop open, and I wanted to buy Tato's.
Right.
The Irish crisps.
Best crisps.
Exactly. And my mum was like, let's get a postcard for the podcast.
Okay, that's fair. And did they sell stamps as well?
Yes, they did.
What? That is a 24-hour shop and a half, isn't it?
They did. Yeah, they did sell stamps, because there's nowhere else we could have got them from.
But that wasn't the only excitement that came through our letterbox this week, was it?
This was so exciting, this second one.
This second one is very exciting. Go on, as Sam continues to read your mum's postcard.
Okay, so this postcard says, "This is what dreams are made of," and it's Sam in the future as a train driver, pretty much, with a small boy looking on at the train.
Yeah, he's not. He seems to be ignoring the driver and is just in awe at the train, isn't it? But it's not a full-size train, is it?
It could be Sam of the past and Sam of the future on this card.
Very deep, philosophical. Right, so go on then. Who's sending us pictures of future and past Sam?
So this is actually from Jonathan O'Rourke.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for the postcard.
Is this, we think, long-time listener, first-time postcarder?
We do. And second-time contribution after... the famous pink seagull of Andreas.
Okay.
So he said, pop down.
Sorry. Oh. I still found that funny. Yeah. Because every time I think about it, I just remember the headline we went with Barbie Gull.
Right.
He said, pop down to visit my mum and thought I'd send the podcast team a card from the model railway at the bottom of my mum's garden.
So where is the model railway, does it say?
Hythe.
Pardon?
Hythe.
How's it spelled? Hythe.
Wait.
Hythe.
Yeah, I'd say Hythe.
How'd you spell
it? And he's also addressed it to the podcast fairies.
Oh, that's nice. So that wasn't the only correspondence we've had this week, Katie. We also had someone slide into our DMs, didn't we?
Yes, or as producer Emma liked to call it, they've slithered into our DMs this week.
Lovely past tense. So that was into our Instagram account at IOMNewsPodcast. And what was the treat that befell us when we opened it?
It was an absolute delight. Mm. It was from a listener who said, just heard your latest podcast and the disappointment in your voices that you didn't get any owl pics sent in.
Which I was very disappointed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have one either. But here's a duck substitute, winky face. And then there is an absolutely wonderful picture of our listener and her duck peeking. From 98.
See what she's done there?
Yep.
Yep.
And then she also put, I'm also a fan of the Morpork.
Which is the kiwi owl, which...
Jess loves,
yeah.
Number one fan, Jess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she said, enjoy the podcasts, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for sending that in. I'm going to open it up, owls and ducks, because maybe I've set the bar too high with an owl. If you've got a picture of you and a duck, bing it in, DM it. Whatever the kids do these days.
People will be slithered into the DMs.
We'll be getting slithered all over the place, won't we, next week. So we'll look forward to hearing your pictures, receiving your pictures of ducks and other feathered friends.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, enough hilarity. On to the first news story of the week, Samuel.
Yeah, I think I'm going to raise the tone and go for something completely
news-related.
Business-like, strong news story.
Okay.
So the island has a pizza vending machine!
Correct, woo-hoo. And I believe it's the first in the British Isles?
Apparently so, yes.
Groundbreaking.
It is. Well, no, it's above ground. But
boom. I quite like that. I did quite like that. That's a slow burner. You'd listen to that back and then laugh go.
So anyway, it's it's just pizza and pasta down there in town, you know, around the side of Marx's.
Where we went for dinner before Bustard.
Yeah. I had that, sorry.
You had a calzone.
It was great, it was the hot one.
Yeah. Sorry.
You digress. Yes.
Bustard was awesome. So anyway, they've got a pizza vending machine now. So what they have is, so their chefs cook it, they put it in like a little chiller thing inside of it.
Yeah.
And you go up and you go, oh, I really fancy pepperoni. Boop. Press your little pepperoni button. I don't know if it goes in the noise, probably doesn't.
Yeah.
And then you select that, pay with your card, and it cooks it on the inside. So it takes it, like cooks it from the bottom, there's a grill on at the top, comes out in a box with a little silver foil tray. You got a lovely hot pizza.
Is it only one size? Is it an individual?
No, it's like a whole pizza.
Well, what, a big 10-inch, 14-inch?
It's like, yeah, they're standard sort of size. Yeah.
And the, is it a small selection of them? And you're not taking, you can't go and go.
Well, at the minute they've got a good size portion of the menu, but not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because they just can't get an idea of what's popular, but they're going to have like the whole lot.
That's amazing. So it's 4 minutes, is it? Something like that?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 minutes, yeah.
That's unbelievable. They'll do an absolute roaring trade on it.
We are living in the future.
Yeah, we are.
The first weekend they had it would be, so they said about 60 or 70 sold. And that's like before people knew it was going to be there, sort of thing. So this week they had the mayor down from Douglas, John Jock, and he come down and he opened it. And he got a pizza to take away of him.
So what pizza did he take away?
It was a roasted pepper one.
Ooh, interesting choice.
Is it the same price as a normal pizza? Do you get charged extra because it's coming from a future machine?
It's the same sort of... from the future! No, it's the same price.
Okay. It does sound like something out of the Jetsons, doesn't it? Or Back to the Future or something like that.
Yeah.
You can imagine seeing Martin McFly going past on a hoverboard. Which is our second Back to the Future reference in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We could maybe rebrand this as a Back to the Future podcast just to get a few more listeners.
Or just 80s and 90s films references.
niche 1990s. So that's pretty amazing. So it's available now if people want to go down and...
Oh, it gets better though. In about a month's time, they're going to start doing so you can get them chilled. So you can get the pizza out. So say you got people around your house and you want to have pizza and pasta pizzas at your house for the evening do. You know, you're having
and you pretend that you've cooked them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this outside shop?
Yeah, it's outside the main door, right next to the gym. Mm. Which is more likely going to get me closer to going into a gym.
Still, it's closer.
Closer.
Not quite in.
Do they worry about vandalism?
No, they've got cameras on either side. And plus, apparently, now this is not come from me, this is come from the owner, it has proved quite popular with the boys in blue.
Oh, well, yeah, they are working all throughout the night. So, imagine taxi drivers as well.
Yeah, so there's going to be plenty of people around there at night, and they're quite, they've got cameras on it as well, so they don't see it as being a problem.
I think we should have a podcast team trip to the vending machine. Just to the vending machine. Maybe take a couple of cans with us. Sit outside.
It says 24 hour. Well, here we are at 3 o'clock on Wednesday morning.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting. Of course, there's pictures of the grand unveiling.
Yeah, it was on page 11 of the Examiner. And I believe Grace has put something on social media as well. And she was going Instagramming.
She was going Instagramming?
Instagramming, yes.
Oh, fantastic. Do look out for them. Right, the next story of the week involves the grandstand, Samuel.
Yes, it does, Andrew. So it's looking good. It's got to the point now where the grandstand is about 33, 34 years old.
Yeah.
And they decided, they want to keep growing, get it bigger sort of thing, and they want to build a bigger grandstand, essentially.
Okay.
So Enterprise Minister Lawrence Skelly, his department is in charge of motorsport, that sort of stuff. He says that what they're going to look at doing is demolishing the current one and rebuilding on the same site, but it'll be a bigger structure and they'll be able to get more people in it. At the minute it can sit... Do you know what? I looked this up this week. I think it can sit somewhere in the high hundreds.
Right.
At a bit of a push. Right, you can squeeze in.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to... So they're going to demolish the whole thing. He said he's looking... It's looking probably like 3 to 4 years' time they'll do it. They'll be looking at doing it sort of thing because they've got to get that balance between having it down for TT and trying to get back as quick as you can sort of thing, haven't you?
Yeah.
But it's not just going to be a grandstand this time. They're going to have... So you've got the corporate tent at the minute.
Yeah.
They want to put a corporate suite inside of it.
Okay.
So you'll be able to have what you have there now inside the grandstand, but also you'll be able to have it for weddings.
Oh.
So you could potentially get married across the in the pit lane. And do you know what, right? I don't think that's as mad as it sounds.
No, you probably get a lot of people who want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my cousin's got married at Derby's football ground.
The Pride Park?
Yeah, which is controversial given that most of the family support Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did that go down?
My dad did not want to go, but he did have a lovely time once he was there. And all their wedding photos, you can see the Rams on the seats behind them.
So is there anything else? Are they going to maybe put some shop space or something?
Well, I think it's sort of one of them that... I know it's been touted in the past, and I think it might be something they will look at, is the potential of having a museum.
Right.
Because at the minute, there's TT section of the Manx Museum, but it's not... It could be better, sort of thing, just it could be bigger.
Yeah.
And, you think you've got, 110 years of history sort of thing. There's a lot to fit in there. Mm. And I think that might be something that they could potentially look at moving forward. It was touted by the previous Minister for Fun, as he was known, David Cretney.
Mm-hmm.
He said about wanting to do it a few years ago. Mm. So I think that could be something they could look at again and perhaps bring that forward for it. And
So where are we at the timeline at the moment? I take it there's been no plans admitted or anything like
that? No, at the minute we're still at the start of it. Mr. Skelly was talking to Paul Morton from TTV, who said about that they are the early stages of putting a business plan together.
Okay.
To get basically the money off, because it is going to be a large scheme.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big thing to go out and do, because it's not just a grandstand. You've got to build a control tower and everything else that goes with it. And so, and of course, they're also looking at doing the scoreboard, because they're looking at, essentially, the current scoreboard will go, and they're looking at replacement of a live one.
Be more electronic and...
Yeah, because while it's very nice and quite niche that you have the scouts going up there and painting it with the Buckingham Pits lads, it's the point where you got the app on your phone where you can sit there and get all the times by section, and they're going around having to paint it, and it's a bit slow. So they're just looking at how they can bring that and basically try and make it... In a sense, I think they're looking at making it more F1 style in terms of the output without doing what F1 done, which is sterilise itself a little bit.
Mm.
So still keep the like the whole thing of it's the TT, but just modernise it.
It's a hard balance, though, that to maintain. So if people want to read more about that, when was that story in the press this week?
That was in the Indy this week.
Okay, which is, of course, on sale around the island now.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Sam, I know you're probably very giddy by this. The new Football League season starts on Saturday, doesn't it? Are you playing this season? Or
well,
we talked last week about your ailments. So
yeah.
Ailments...
off the crutches, though.
Yeah, I'm off the crutches. I'm back walking, yeah.
Positively sprightly on the walk over to the garage before. So.
Yeah. I'm just, seeing how it goes. I'm not going to do the whole thing of doing away Mourinho or David Beckham, declare myself fit before a major tournament, let the fans down, come home to a nation disgusted by my performance. I don't know, we'll see how it goes. But, governors, I think you've put us down in 4-5-1 as basically being the bottom rank. Sorry, Dave Norton has put us down as being the worst team this year. I think we'll surprise a few teams this year.
Okay, well, you heard it
by
here
your
first.
Badness.
No. We've got the first game of the season tomorrow against Colby in front of their new stand, which they're launching, and I think we'll pick up 3 points of that, which for people who listen to Andy's podcast, the Manx 40 podcast, will appreciate more than most people listening to me now.
Yeah, for the Colby, I think you can be... Yeah, okay, we'll see. 4-5-1, which Sam was talking about, is our 8-page pre-season pull-out, which we do every year. It's in this week's Manx Independent. It's got all loads of predictions. There's team news, transfer news. There's a bit about FC Isle of Man, all the fixtures... And a smattering of lovely pictures, including, I don't know if you've seen this, Kate.
Is this Dave Norton?
Dave Norton's picture. I don't know.
I already knew what you would say.
I don't know where he found it, because I didn't put that on. He put that on himself. I think that's from when he was doing the Milky Cup bar. because he looks about 12.
I was going to say, Milky Quail will do him for copyright. Like, he looks like a kid on a school trip.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
I don't know why.
So yeah, that's in this week's Mags Independent, which of course you can buy digitally if you are not on the island, at imtoday.co.im and on the digital editions tab.
Digital editions or /subscribe.
Yes, that's the one. And of course, we talk about it at length in this week's Mags Football podcast with Paul Hatton, the Hitman Hatton, which is on audioboom.com/channel/Mags Football now. Lots of slashes and all sorts of
stuff. If I just ask Alexa... Will she take me to it? She will take you there.
Yeah, you can be wherever you want, be in the house, say, Alexa, play Manx 40 Pod, and you have Dave and Andy in your house.
It's... yeah. Whether you want us there or not. Right, this week in history, Samuel. I don't know why I keep calling you Samuel tonight. It's very formal. We are going back not that far, only the 5 years. No, 6 years now. We're in 2019, aren't we? To September the 2nd. 2013, and the Isle of Man Examiner of that week. What particularly piqued your interest with this front page?
It's hard to say. It could have been the new shipping line company Delay, who's the rival of the steam packet. It could have been the property sales list. Or it could have been this story, that a post from Pat Van reached 100 miles an hour at Jerby.
Oh yes, and there is a picture of said van. It doesn't look particularly quick, apart from the fact the driver has to wear a helmet, which...
Yeah. Postman Pat never had to do that.
No, and there's no Jess, as far as I can see.
It's just like us.
Hey, boom. But yes, so it did, 101.5 miles per hour. Just short of the world beating 102 miles per hour in 12.2 seconds achieved in the UK at a previous run. But yeah, it's quite an impressive little bit of kit, that, isn't it?
I love how it's described as the world's fastest postman, Pat Van. It's just like, that's a very niche competition to enter.
So is it apparently in the Guinness Book of Records, though?
We should check that for next week, see if it's still there.
Mm.
I like that the photo was taken by photography legend John Madrill. So maybe when he's next in the office, we can ask him about his thoughts of this postman, Pat Van.
Yes. Other things making the front page this week, as you can see the top right corner, the Manx Grand Prix senior race looks like it was cancelled because of mist.
I think I was away that year, so I don't know.
I probably should have double checked this because they all merge into one when you've been working on the sports desk as long as I have. But yes, we talked about it last week when we were in the podcast. The Manx Grand Prix was dogged by bad weather, but it's not a new thing, is it?
And
even when this week in history, I think when we looked at the Manx Grand Prix report on the green final last week, that had mentioned mist and rain, so it just seems to be always fated that it seems to be plagued by bad weather. So what are the stories? Did you see the story about the Bendy Brush?
Yeah, so just below that they have...
Bendy Brush? Bendy Bus.
Concern boom, over boom. Bendy Bus fires.
Yeah.
And then it says, a move that will further fuel demands not to introduce them here.
I saw on one of the other nibs that week was a call to end visiting markets. The European Continental Markets in Douglas do great harm to traders elsewhere in the island, and they should be stopped, according to Peter Birch, who owns the original Manx Fudge Factory.
Now, before I say anything about that, right, the Manx Fudge Factory, fantastic.
You are obsessed with... I remember before Christmas you talking non-stop about fudge.
Yeah, I love fudge. It's great. But I really... Because you don't really get them now, the European markets.
No, they were good. You can always get, like, nice food and...
Yeah.
Right. Trinkets.
But yeah, because you go across and like pretty much like every city in the UK now has them.
Yeah,
like around Christmas time especially.
We had them for like 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah, and they're really good. And now it's a shame that. But
Back, European markets. We could do it in our car park maybe.
Yeah,
got space.
Yeah,
I mean it's not up to us to rent out the car park to people.
No, but I think if anybody should be handling booking a major European market for the island, it should be us.
Or maybe on the big bit next to us, you know where Eurocars were. Yeah. That's not just sat empty, isn't it?
Waiting for KFC.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. That.
Yeah, a good big European market there.
And you've got car parking space because you've got that one behind us.
Or you could even park next to it. It's probably not going to take the whole thing up. I think we're onto something here. Bring your owls, bring your ducks, bring your metal detectors. Because there could be some stuff in there.
Could be.
Could
be a gold mine underneath that car park.
There could be, and there probably isn't. Right, so that was this week in history in 2013. Not loads are on this front page because it's not 1952 where they have 78 different stories and about 48 different adverts, but there you go. It's still nonetheless good to look back those 6 short years. Katie, Manx word of the week.
Okay, so you actually mentioned what the Manx word was, I think. Just before, when we were talking about the weather.
Okay.
Because basically, drockerish, which was last week's word, is bad weather. And it was because last week we were chatting about the bad weather we'd had for the Manx Grand Prix.
That's fantastic. Drockerish. It's a nice drockerish. It's nice, isn't it? It's a nice one, that one. So we go from drockerish to Fiacla.
Yeah.
Fiacla.
Yeah.
Fiacla.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Scottishman being very excited that they're giving out free chocolatey goods.
I thought it sounded like a chocolate eclair. Yeah.
Or free the eclairs.
Yeah.
Free eclair.
Been imprisoned somewhere.
In someone's stomach. Yeah. Right. So we have a listen to how the people at Culture of Ireland say it properly.
Mm-hmm.
Free eclair.
Well, I think that was not a bad effort.
It's one of our more successful attempts in the Manx language.
Have you learned how to say duck in Manx yet?
I did know this word. I knew duck.
Okay. And you're looking very blank. Have you forgotten?
I can't say it on demand.
Well, there's Katie's homework for next week. Okay. So not only will you find out what Fia Claire is in next week's podcast, which I'm sure you're all very excited to find out about, but we'll also find out what duck and maybe owl is in Manx.
I'll just learn a selection of birds ready for... Because who knows what bird photos we'll have next week.
Yeah, it could be anything, couldn't it?
Could be flamingo.
Peregrine, falcon.
Toucan.
A toucan. Have you heard of toucan crossing?
Yeah.
What is it?
I
like a pelican crossing, but a toucan crossing.
You can have a toucan crossing. Okay, so we have the Wikipedia entry here. A toucan crossing is a type of pedestrian crossing that also allows bicycles to be ridden across. Since toucan... pedestrians and cyclists, toucan. Both pedestrians and cyclists crossed together, the name toucan was chosen. There you go.
So it's not at all the what, like the one.
Would you like to know
McDonald's?
The usual dimensions of a toucan crossing?
I don't think anybody would.
Normally 4 meters, 13 feet wide, instead of 2.8 or 9 feet wide on a pelican crossing or puffin crossing.
Is a puffin crossing the one with the middle bit?
I don't. Let's have a click on that one. Puffin crossing. A puffin crossing is a type of pedestrian crossing. Yeah, I'm well aware of that. Wikipedia next. The design is distinct in that the lights controlling the pedestrians are on the same side of the road as the pedestrian user.
So...
rather than on the opposite side as the older pelican crosses and it replaces.
So for that... people who can't see in long distances can just look to the side of them and see the green or red man is on.
Yeah, you have the button and it's like the little bit of... there above it.
Yes.
They have two sensors on top of the traffic lights, a pedestrian crossing detector and a pedestrian curb detector. These sensors detect if pedestrians are crossing slowly and can hold the red traffic longer if needed. I think the one outside Podcast HQ is has a detector on it because we were quite a long time.
You know where it doesn't? Where? Down Prospect Hill.
That may be a pelican crossing.
You know, by the Arman Bank there. If you try and get across that, it's like beep, beep, beep.
No, I think that's a pelican.
This podcast has got really niche.
I bet you we get lots of hits. There's probably a crossing forum somewhere that we'll get shared on. That's a funny, good point, though. Do you know the not so much on crossings anymore.
But have you noticed underneath the box where you press the button, there is a small...
Black knob.
Yeah, a little knob that spins around for you to hold to know when it's...
Why can you not? Why did they get rid of the...
What if you're blind and deaf?
But what about the rest of us? I quite like having a beep. But anyway, we've digressed. Maybe we could, next week's podcast, we could go and do it from a series of crossings. An outside broadcast.
We've got a lot to do outside next week. We've got to go buy pizza, we've got to stand at a crossing.
But think how many crossings there are on the way to the pizza.
Okay, yeah.
Technically, there's only two if you stick to the right side of the road.
One. We'll go the long one. Okay. Right, what's got coming up next week, Katie?
You are still able to get copies of the Maritime Supplement and 451.
Okay.
On our website.
Yeah.
That's my way of saying I don't really know what's coming up next week for us.
It's like as if I asked this question for the first time, isn't it, today?
I actually asked producer Emma before what's happening next week. Nothing.
Okay. So that's if people want to get the digital editions.
www.iomtoday.co.im Digital editions, number one tab.
Oh, I thought you were going to throw in the /subscribe.
/subscribe.
We've given them a lot of information there. They'll be going to digital editions /subscribe, won't they?
They'll get to the same place.
Well, they'll find it.
They'll find the blue maritime supplement.
Very blue.
So blue.
So what you got coming up next week, Sam?
Well, the Roman Kiwi's back, which is good.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I've got Vox Pop to do, I've got properties to do, I've got planning stories. I've got loads of very technical stuff to do, which isn't going to be massive fun for people, to be honest. But they'll enjoy it anyway.
Well, I'm sure they will go out and spend their hard-earned pounds on the paper just to...
It'll be informative without being too entertaining.
What have you got coming up next week?
Next week is actually... Well, so the new rugby season starts on Saturday. The new football season, as we've discussed, starts on Saturday. It's the end-to-end cycle on Sunday, which is probably one of those 500, I think, in that. So it's always good. And there'll be tons of coverage, as always. I don't know why I did the wild hand gesture there. In the Examiner and Independent next week. Right, well, until Jess returns next week, I think that's about it.
Bye for now.